One, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Faith Perlow, Gregory Stockel, and John Russell. Later, Adam Brock and Ashley will present the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, here is Mario Ritter Jr.
A new proposed rule from the European Parliament and Council means that American company Apple will have to change the charging connector for its devices sold in Europe. The rule says that the USB Type-C charging connection will be required on popular electronic devices by the autumn of 2024. The rule will affect mobile telephones, tablet computers, cameras, listening devices, and other electronics. In addition, laptop computers will be required to have the connections 40 months after the rule takes effect. The political intervention came after companies did not agree on one connector for all their products. The European Commission said the change would make life easier for buyers and save them money. The European Parliament has been trying to require all companies to use only one charging connection, or port, for more than 10 years. Lawmakers said people were angry that they had to switch between cables to use Apple or Android-based products. Commissioner for the Internal Market, Thierry Breton, said the rule would save $267 million for buyers. He added that the proposed law will let new technology develop without harming buyers or causing problems in the market. A European Commission study said that USB Type-C ports are in 29% of mobile phones sold now. The European Parliament released a statement saying that by autumn 2024, USB Type-C will become the common charging port for all mobile phones, tablets, and cameras in the EU. The charging port on the iPhone, called the Lightning Cable, is used in about 21% of phones. In the past, Apple has warned that a law requiring one kind of charging port would harm new technology development. The company has also noted that throwing away old cables would create more unnecessary waste. Researcher Angelo Zeno said that the proposed law could cause iPhone sales to increase when it goes into effect. The law could cause Europeans to buy new phones instead of keeping older ones with different ports. Existing consumers can still use the Lightning cable, but maybe there would be less purchases of older products, he said. Bloomberg News Service recently reported that Apple is already designing an iPhone with a USB Type-C charging port. It could come out next year. However, the EU could make buyers angry if it bans the sale of older phone models. For example, older phone models normally become less costly when new models are released. If older models are no longer available, buyers would be forced to buy new, more costly devices. Although Apple has warned against such laws in the past, some experts predict that the law could increase Apple's stock value. The European Parliament and the European Council must now officially approve the rule later this year. It will go into effect 2 years after that. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
The governing body of figure skating has raised the age limit for international competitions to 17. The decision followed a heated dispute surrounding Russian skater Kamila Valieva at the Beijing Olympics. The International Skating Union, ISU, voted 110-16 to raise the age limit to 17 before the next Winter Olympics in Milan, Cortina d'Ampezzo, Italy. The change will be phased in, with 15-year-olds being permitted to compete for this season and 16 the following season. ISU President Jan Dykema called the decision historic, and the organization said it wants to protect the physical and mental health and emotional well-being of the skaters. The change in age limit was coming even before the pressure on 15-year-old Kamila Valieva at this year's Olympics. She had a good chance to win an individual gold medal after helping the Russians win the team competition. After the team competition, news came out that Valieva had tested positive for an illegal drug at the end of 2021. But she was permitted to compete in the individual competition. She finished in fourth place, but was criticized by the Russian coach, Itiri Tutberidze, at the end of her skating program. The new age limit could hurt the career of 14-year-old Sofia Akatieva, the top young Russian skater. She turns 15 too late to be able to compete this season. But she will be 18 at the next Winter Olympics in 2026. The decision was criticized in Russia, where skaters are currently banned from international competitions following the invasion of Ukraine. Dmitry Solovyov won a gold medal as part of the Russian team in 2014. He told a Russian broadcaster the change was made so that our Russian female skaters couldn't have the opportunity to win world championship, European, Olympic medals. But in my opinion, Itiri Tutberidze will find a way to get our athletes into ideal condition at the age of 17 or 18, Solovyov added, so that they can show their best results at international competitions. I'm Faith Perlow.
when South African artist Fatuwani Mekele paints at his workshop in Johannesburg, he creates two works at once. There is the traditional piece, an image on cloth, but also another that exists in the virtual world as digital art. Mekele uses The Tree, an online market for South African artists to share and sell their art as non-fungible tokens or NFTs. An NFT is based on a technology called blockchain, which is also used with digital money known as cryptocurrencies. An NFT can be attached to a piece of digital artwork or other things existing in digital form. The NFT can be used to provide proof that the pieces are real. While anyone can view the work, the buyer has official ownership rights over the pieces. Mekele said, "There's a virtual world where people are buying land in it." He was talking about the metaverse. The metaverse is a non-physical world in which individuals interact through different kinds of digital technology. Technology companies like Microsoft and Facebook say it is the future of the internet. People have properties there, Mekele said, adding, and your art can be on those walls. Buyers of Mekele's art receive both the physical art he makes in his workshop and the digital NFT. Other artists on The Tree sell up to 5 limited edition NFTs for each piece or digital prints. Mekele has already made thousands of dollars by using the service. Trevor Stierman is one of the artists on The Tree. He said, "I think it's important as an artist and a creative to always play where the ball is going and not necessarily where it's at." Critics say blockchains, digital places used to store information, are not climate friendly because they use a great amount of computing power. The Tree says it saves energy by running on Polygon, a blockchain that uses much less power and offsets each sale by sending money to Greenpop. Greenpop is an environmental organization that plants trees across much of Africa. Dan Portal is one of the founders of The Tree. He said, "It's not just about art and artists and the story. It's about making sure that this growth in technology for artists doesn't come at a cost to the planet." I'm Gregory Stockel.
With its white feathers and blue skin, the Bali Myna has been sought after by collectors for more than 100 years. Their capture for sale, along with land loss on the island of Bali, Indonesia, led to the bird being listed as threatened in 1988. The International Union for Conservation of Nature moved it to critically endangered in 1994. And, by 2001, experts estimated only about 6 Bali Mynas were living in the wild, with thousands in captivity across the world. Now, conservationists are hoping to increase the Myna population by working with bird breeders and sellers to release them into the wild. In the 1980s, an organization now called BirdLife International started to work with the government to launch a breeding program for the birds. Breeders can seek government permits to breed the birds. If approved, they are given mynas by the government and could keep 90% of the baby birds for private sale. The remaining birds are released at West Bali National Park, where they will be closely watched by park officials. Early myna releases faced problems. Some birds were infected with a parasite that often caused death. Others were killed by natural predators. Illegal hunting also continued. And the National Park's breeding center was even robbed at gunpoint, with nearly 40 birds stolen. Yet conservation efforts in the last 10 years have seen greater success, said Tom Squires of Manchester Metropolitan University. Squires said, "Bird keepers can still keep birds and follow their hobby without causing real problems for wild populations, which is, I think, a lot better than species going extinct in the world. To go extinct means to die off completely." Agusnugura Krishna Kapakasan is head of the West Bali National Park. He believes the creation and spread of villages around the park have led to a successful breeding program. Villagers received help in getting permits and bred Bali mynas there. With the community being the breeders, they are helping us to take care of the birds that exist in nature, he said. Squires noted that there is clear evidence some released birds have produced young ones. So that leads me to believe that the population is certainly self-sustaining to an extent, he said. The breeding program's results can be seen throughout the park, where Kapakasan says 420 Bali mynas now live. Conservation efforts have also spread to Tapanan Regency, a three-hour drive from the park. The place is a recent release area for Friends of the National Parks Foundation, an Indonesia-based nonprofit that works with breeders to release the birds. Aigede Nyoman Bayu Wirayuda founded the organization and has worked in Bali myna conservation for years. He said, traditionally, communities around conservation areas have thought there is no money to be made from them. But the rare birds' presence will help draw tourists and their money, like in other parts of Bali where mynas have been released. You need to give something back to the community so they can feel that conservation gives them benefits, he said. Squires hopes the conservation model could be applied to other endangered birds in Indonesia, such as the black-winged myna. For any of the lowland birds affected by the caged bird trade, this is the sort of approach that's going to be needed, he said. I'm John Russell.
Today, on our national parks journey, we visit a mountainous landscape on America's East Coast. Within the park are rocky peaks, rolling green hills, and spectacular waterfalls. It is also home to hundreds of black bears. Welcome to Shenandoah National Park in the state of Virginia. Shenandoah sits in the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains. The mountains are part of the larger Appalachian Mountain Range. The park's hiking trails, waterfalls, and wildlife appeal to nature lovers and adventurers. Shenandoah National Park is perhaps best known for the road that goes through it, Skyline Drive.
Skyline Drive runs nearly 170 kilometers north to south. It is the only road in the park. There are more than 70 overlooks along the way, where people can pull their car off the road. These overlooks provide visitors with beautiful views of the Shenandoah Valley. The road was built in the 1930s, at a time when the automobile was becoming popular. Shenandoah's north entrance lies less than 120 kilometers from Washington, D.C. Early planners wanted a major national park like those in the American West, here on the East Coast, close to big cities. In fact, Shenandoah was described as an Eastern park in the Western tradition. And early park planners wanted Skyline Drive to be the single greatest feature of the park.
Denise Machado is a park ranger at Shenandoah. She explains that the park soon became a place for people to escape the noise and heat of big cities.
It was created just so people could kind of get away, a place to escape the big city and the hustle and bustle, the pre-air-conditioned days. You know, this was the place to be. The temperatures were about 10 degrees cooler up here on the mountain.
But Shenandoah's history is not without controversy. To create the place that park planners envisioned, many families were forced to leave behind properties in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Shenandoah National Park was formed from more than 3,000 individual land purchases. They were presented to the federal government by the Commonwealth of Virginia. Shenandoah officially became a national park in 1936. Today, most of the buildings and structures that once stood in the area are long gone. But you can find some signs of the past. A log building called Corbin Cabin still stands. George Corbin, who built the log structure, was forced to leave the land in the late 1930s, just after the creation of the national park. Today, the cabin is operated by the Potomac Appalachian Trail Club. The club permits people to rent the cabin.
Shenandoah National Park has more than 800 kilometers of hiking trails. They take visitors to rocky mountain peaks, grassy meadows, and forested canyons. Hikers are especially drawn to the park's famous waterfalls.
The waterfalls are definitely the most popular. We have 9 waterfalls. Dark Hollow Falls is our most popular. It's a beautiful waterfall. It's a 70-foot waterfall. It's a 1.4-mile hike round trip. It follows along a stream, and you're right at the base of the falls looking up, and you can feel the spray, and, you know, it's a really great experience.
Grace Williams hiked to Dark Hollow Falls with her daughter on her birthday.
My daughter's gift for me to bring me to the national park, and it's on my bucket list. So I always love falls. I like the sound. Water is refreshing. So they did tell us it's a kind of like a moderate hike. I do have knee problems, but I just wanted to challenge it, and I'm glad I came. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Another of Shenandoah's famous hikes is called Old Rag. It is almost 15 kilometers long. To get to the top of Old Rag Mountain, hikers must scramble up large rocks. It is a long and difficult hike, but the views from the top bring hikers from all across the country and world.
Because it is close to many big cities, Shenandoah's trails are often crowded with people.
More than 1 million people visit the park each year. Although Shenandoah was created to be an easy escape from big East Coast cities, today it sees visitors from all over the world.
It's amazing how many people you meet that come from far-flung countries and corners of the world. We've had people from Africa. We get a lot of people from Germany, France, Sweden, Netherlands. So you just never know where they're going to come from.
Machado says summer and fall are the most popular times to visit the park. While summer is a good time to enjoy the waterfalls, the fall brings beautiful autumn colors. In the middle of October, the trees begin to lose their leaves. The leaves change from green to different shades of yellow, orange, and red as winter approaches. On weekends in October, it can take up to 2 hours just to get into the park.
Visitors to Shenandoah National Park have a good chance of seeing a black bear. The park is home to between 400 to 600 black bears. It has one of the densest black bear populations of any national park. Denise Machado knows a lot about these black bears. In fact, her nickname is the Bear Lady.
Well, I am known in Shenandoah as the Bear Lady. I see a lot of bears every season. I'm in the park early in the morning, late in the evening. I see anywhere from, 400 or so bears every year. And it's wonderful to see. I never get tired of seeing them. They're all different and they're all special.
Machado gives visitors advice for what to do if they see a black bear.
So if you see a bear, you want to clap your hands, say, "Hey, bear, hey, bears." They really don't like to be startled. You don't want to try and sneak up on them to get a photo or anything. You want to make sure that they are totally aware you're there.
Malachi and his older brother Brent visited Shenandoah National Park with their parents. The family traveled here from Cincinnati, Ohio. The family hiked the Little Stony Man Trail. Along the way, they came upon a black bear.
I really liked how we could see the animals. We saw a really big bear, and he was really friendly, and he didn't do anything. He was just eating.
The park's bears and other wildlife are a big part of what attracts so many visitors to Shenandoah. Carol Bear and her husband visited the park from York, Pennsylvania. She said visiting Shenandoah is like a breath of fresh air.
It's just quieter. You hear the birds, you look at trees different. The wind blowing through the fields is just really neat.
Oh, Shenandoah, long to hear you.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.